everybody. I'm Scott. I'm here with author Julie Davis to talk about her brand new book, Seeking Jesus in Everyday Life, Prayers and Reflections for Getting Closer.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome.
I am not used to this. I'm used to just doing my intro.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
My guest.
Well, this is just a wonderful book. I mean, you are my friend, but I would mean that even if my friend hadn't written this.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome. So what is the origin of it? What made you, in the book you talk about that you collect, you have notebooks in which, well, talk to me about your notebooks, I guess, first of all.
Okay, yeah. So I guess I was trying to think back on the genesis for this whole thing because it was a personal project. So I wasn't busy making notes because I'd need to tell people about it later. But I think I was reading the catechism in one of my various attempts to, I'm going to read the catechism every day. That never works. But I always get something out of whatever I'm reading at that point. And one of the things I noticed was that all these saints are talking about their good friendship with Jesus. And I'm just like, you know, I kind of think of that as being a Protestant thing in terms of your relationship with Christ and that sort of code terminology. But I suddenly started thinking about it and realized that I met God, you know, God the Father is how I became Christian, essentially. I mean, then I went on a retreat a couple of years later after I converted and entered the church. And that really put me in a personal position with the Holy Spirit, which I realize is lucky because that's usually the person of the Trinity people don't feel too comfortable with. And it's not that I haven't had encounters, personal, meaningful encounters with Christ, but I didn't have that feeling that I was getting from these saints, which was a real friendship. And so I thought, well, golly, I should work on that. That's, you know, Christian key. So I started taking my spiritual director had said, you know, I want you to take like 20 minutes in the afternoon or whenever and just kind of, he was trying to get me to meditate. But I'm like Teresa of Avila, who said, you know, she usually wasn't able to pray without a book in her hand. So I started jotting down either little bits of scripture or something that had caught my eye that I could kind of focus on and use to kind of open the door and let Jesus come closer, since that was my goal. And between that and me just feeling like maybe this would help other people the way it's helped me is what made me turn that into a book.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, and I agree. It's just so wonderfully set up, too.
Oh, good.
Just before we move on, you mentioned that, you know, you sort of started with a relationship with God the Father.
Right.
And in the book, there was a section where you said, you know, God was always Jesus.
No, isn't that great?
Yeah, and it was kind of a revelation to you. Talk about that for a second.
Well, yeah, because I always wondered if there was God since my parents were atheists and they weren't the proselytizing sort of atheists of like, you know, this all religion is stupid. They just didn't talk about it. I was always, I guess you'd say, an agnostic. I just wondered how anybody knew one way or the other off and on during my life. And then at one point, and this is something that I've talked about in other places, so I won't drag out the details, but I finally at Mass one day went, so are you there? Here's my test. Let's make a bet. You know, the stupidest kind of bet ever. Except it was a smart bet because by the end of a year, something had changed and I wound up saying, you don't have to pay off the bet. I'm just going to believe in you no matter what. And I'm sure that was the working of the Holy Spirit because what else would it be? But I wasn't aware of anything. And of course, the very next day, within 2 weeks, God had paid off on the bet just to kind of go, hey, honey, here I am. Here's the, you know, you took your step. I'm going to give you my overflowing generosity. I didn't really stop to think about the Trinity. That's something, one of those mysteries that you and I have talked about that I've had to wrestle with for myself over the last, I guess it's 17 years since I came into the church in 2000. But looking back, I'm like, well, that's God the Father, you know, answering my overall prayer. And then, like I said, that quote that you're talking about from William Barclay of, you know, if Jesus says we see him and then we see the Father, that means God was always like Jesus. And you go, whoa, that's, I'm always defending the Old Testament. I am always saying people aren't looking closely enough when they just see a God of vengeance and anger at people and punishment. There are all kinds of places where God is saying, I don't want your holocausts. I don't want your offerings. I want your hearts. I want to come and live in your heart. He says that over and over, but we miss it because we just focus on the bigger picture and there's the cultural difference and everything. But that is also, you know, Jesus. He just, we're able to see him more clearly in the New Testament. That's why one reason he did it the way he did it.
Excellent.
So you like the book?
Yes, very much so. I really like how it's set up. So the way that it is set up is that there are these, I guess I'd call it a spread, right? Two pages mm-hmm. facing each mm-hmm. other. I call that a spread. And left and right are related. This book could be used, unless I'm mistaken, you know, as a daily, something that yeah. you would just read a page a day or a spread a day. And there's food there for contemplation. It's really interesting what you've done. At the top of each page are quotes from various sources that are related by theme. And then you put some personal stuff there, some thoughts, your personal reflections on that subject. And then below that is normally sort of, I guess, a prodding for meditation or a prodding for mm-hmm. prayer, where you say, okay, now that you're thinking about this, you know, walk down this path with me. And I find it intensely personal, what you've written here on almost every page. It's there's just so much there of you, you know. I know you pretty well, I think. And there's yeah. so much of you in there, and I smile all the time. But what you've done, you've just really given yourself in this book. There are many times where you get really personal, and you know, it's a gift. I really mean that word. It's a gift to people. And you're very welcome. I greatly appreciate it.
I was putting as few of my thoughts as I could, believe it or not, or trying to put them as briefly as I could, which kind of make you laugh if you look at some of the pages. But I was just trying to show, here's the kind of way you could think about it without trying to hold people down to thinking only my way. And so that's why I was also trying to put a bit of a prompt of what kind of way could this open me up to a further encounter. And that's also the reason at the very end of each page there's a prayer.
Another page that I just want to point out that kind of leapt out to me in this personal way that we're talking about is you offer this Decalogue from St. John the 23rd.
The 23rd.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you say, you know, every morning I pray this Decalogue aloud. And that's really something. It's neat for you to share that. Only for today, I will seek to live the livelong day positively without wishing to solve the problems of my life all at once. So that's the beginning, and what great advice that is.
Well, and the thing I like about it is every time I'm praying it, of course, there are some things that speak to anybody more than just occasionally. We all have our own faults and we all know what they are. And I think he manages to cover practically every tendency in this. But the things that have surprised me are the times when other things have leapt out. And I have felt God's love through this, you know, or some reminder of something that I wouldn't have thought of otherwise. I'm kind of glad you brought that up. I've been forgetting to pray it recently. I've got to start doing that again.
You bet. There's somewhere else in here. I marked several pages, but I can, you said, find out what is blocking you and then do it anyway. And that is so, Julie, it's perfect. So that's your own advice coming right back at you, right? That's the problem with writing one of these is like, oh, now everybody thinks I'm doing it all the time, you know, or whatever.
Oh, yeah. No, because I'm the worst. I mean, I write this book and everyone's like, oh, now you're just Jesus' best friend and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, man, I so wish Why one of the things that I like about it is now I have this in print. I don't have to go back and forth between my three notebooks. And at the end, I felt this so strongly, is that you have to keep going through the process all the time. And we always, or at least me, I feel like I would like to finish this and now I'm done and move on to phase two. And of course, the spiritual life is a continual moving forward, but it's also that idea that now as a human being, I would like to stop doing this for a while. It's a bit arduous. And so at the very end, and I don't know if you've looked at that not, but I have, well, now we have to go back to the beginning of the book and start over.
And yeah, and Merton said that too, right? You also put a quote from Merton in here where he said, you know, the thing about journaling is that you are often, if you have the quote in front of you.
I have it.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. He says, keeping a journal has taught me that there is not so much new in your life as you sometimes think. When you reread your journal, you find out that your latest discovery is something you already found out 5 years ago. Still, it is true that one penetrates deeper and deeper into the same ideas and experiences.
Yes.
And I also, and since I'm just going, I love these quotes so much, because that goes so perfectly with, I also have from the Catechism of the Church, it says, creation has its own goodness and proper perfection, but it did not spring forth complete from the hands of the Creator. The universe was created in a state of journeying toward an ultimate perfection yet to be attained, to which God has destined it. So that's so beautiful, because not only are we here to help the universe do that, but we're doing it too. Mm. It's that constant state of journeying that we're created in. And I love that, because it's not only are we one with His creation, but we're doing what we're supposed to do when we keep trying.
Yeah, what a wonderful concept. Wonderful concept to think about.
Oh, the Catholic Church.
Yes.
So
you know, the Catechism really is, I mean, it's quite a work of art.
Oh, it's a gem.
You know, it's, yeah, not just the information, but, you know, how they put everything is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, Julie, for talking to me about this. Where can they get it? I guess that's important. Where are they going to get this book?
Yes. It's on Amazon, where everything is, right?
Amazon's on, yeah.
So, yeah, and it's got the look inside feature, so you can see excerpts there, too.
Oh, great. Excellent. And your other two books are there as well. Happy Catholic, Glimpses of God in Everyday Life, which is terrific. And also terrific, Lord, Open My Heart, Daily Scriptural Reflections for Lent. Both available there.
Yes.
All right. So thank you. And everybody, please check it out.
Oh, thank you, Scott.
You bet. Thank you.